Welcome to the Wealth Studying Podcast. This is episode 22, September 2nd, 2014. I'm your host, John Pugliano, the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. And Wealth Studying is all about helping you find your personal freedom by building, preserving, and growing your wealth. On this episode, we're continuing our Labor Day series. And today we're going to focus on helping you find the career you love. Now, this show is for everybody. It's for those young teenagers that are wondering what career field or what job they should pursue or what college degree they might want to pursue. It's for that young adult that has his first job, but he really doesn't have a career. He's not sure where he fits in. It's for that man or woman that's in their 30s or maybe even 40s. They've been in the job market for 10 or 20 years, but they're not satisfied where they're at. They want to get a change. I'm focusing this episode on helping you find the right career field because it is so vitally important. I'd say it's probably harder to find the job that you love than it is to find the right spouse. And finding the right career field is every bit as important as finding the right spouse. You're going to spend 40, 50, 60, 80 hours at work. You need to be happy. And it's not only important for your happiness, it's absolutely critical for your wealth. I was miserable for a lot of years because I didn't get started in the right career field. But now that I'm on my own, now that I'm an entrepreneur, now that I have my own firm, I absolutely love it. I only wish I had learned to start my own firm 20 or 30 years ago. That's my only regret. And I absolutely do believe that all of you can find a job or a career that you absolutely love. I think that's one of the reasons we were put here on this earth. We all have unique talents and abilities, and when we're working within those talents and abilities, we'll feel good about ourselves. We'll feel like we're contributing, and that will make us happy. So in today's episode, we're going to drill down on some different areas that will hopefully help you narrow down things that you would or would not like to do. And then in future episodes, we'll come back and we'll talk about maybe actually how to get that job or how to make the amount of money you want to earn. Today's emphasis is only going to be about finding the actual job that you like or finding the career field that you actually like. We may not be able to get granular enough to talk about the specific job, but at least we want to be able to point you into the right direction, point you to the broad general areas of the field that you may want to work in. Now, before we get started, I do want to say that I think it's intuitive and it's common sense that it obviously makes a difference. If you're in a job that you love or at least one that you like, you're going to perform better. I don't think we have to argue the fact that if you're in a job you hate, you're not going to perform as well. But what I do want to point out, and this is particularly if you're young. Now, when you're young, you haven't experienced as much in life as an older person has. And so, therefore, you may think that you don't like certain things, but if you've never experienced them, you really wouldn't know that. And so I don't want you to discount things that you don't know about and assume that, well, because I don't like A, then I'm not going to like B or C. You got to give things a chance. You got to try them. And if I can draw an analogy, for those of you that maybe drink coffee or drink alcohol or use tobacco, think about the first time you used that. Did you like it? For those of you that smoke, the first time you took a drag on a cigarette, was it a pleasant experience? I would imagine for most people it wasn't, that you probably smoked because of peer pressure or because you wanted to try it out, it was experimental, and you had to force yourself to take that first puff. And you probably choked, and it was probably pretty nasty, and it made your eyes water, and it burned your throat. But you acquired a taste for it. The same is probably true for your first drink of coffee or hard liquor. The first time you drank a scotch or brandy, it probably burned your throat. You probably didn't like it. But again, you knew it was customary or other people around you were doing it or you wanted to fit in. And so you learn how to drink a strong coffee or learn how to drink a hard alcohol. And then you acquire a taste for it. And then it's no problem in the future. Well, our jobs and our careers aren't exactly like that, but I think you get the point I'm trying to make. So for example, a career in selling, a career in sales. You may say, oh, I'd hate that. I don't want to do that. I could never do that. But let me tell you, the highest paid professionals come from the field of sales. And to one degree or another, we all sell. Whether we're engineers or administrative people, we're selling our bosses on new ideas, we're selling our employees on concepts, we're selling our kids on things that we want them to do. Right? We're all selling something. So don't tell me you've never sold or you don't like to sell. Selling is just a matter of communication. It's a matter of finding someone's needs and desires and linking them up with the features and benefits of the product or the concept or whatever that you want them to recognize. So selling isn't a big scary thing, although a lot of people think it is. So just because you haven't tried it, don't think you wouldn't like it. And if you have tried it and didn't like it, well, that doesn't mean you won't like it in every area, right? I personally wouldn't like being a door-to-door salesman. but I did have a successful 20-year career where I was a salesman. I was in sales and marketing. I traveled throughout the United States and all around the world as an industrial salesman. Now, I didn't have to physically go knocking door to door in residential areas, but I did do a whole lot of cold calling of business to business type customers, industrial clients. I was never afraid to walk into someone's office as someone I hadn't ever met before, to call them up or to send them an email. In fact, I kind of liked the challenge of it. But again, I wouldn't like going door to door in a residential neighborhood knocking on doors. That doesn't appeal to me. But the industrial side of sales, not a problem. And along with sales, one of the reasons that I waited so long to go into the financial industry was that I waited until I could open up my own firm. I wanted to open up my own investment advisory firm where I could do it exactly the way I wanted to do it. I didn't want to go work for a Merrill Lynch or an Edward Jones or one of these other type of people because I didn't want to sell the products that they sold. I wanted to have my own firm where I could offer advice and fee only and not have to sell insurance or annuities or push stocks or any of that kind of thing that I didn't want to do. So again, there were limitations there. There's certain things I wouldn't want to do, but I absolutely do enjoy certain elements of selling. And I think you would too. You may not have the personality to be a back-slapping salesman that goes out and buys people drinks or takes them golfing. Or maybe you do. Maybe you'd like that part of it. But on the other hand, the guy that does that, the guy that has that type of skill, it's a totally different person that's involved in a more complex sale. Say someone that's selling million-dollar MRIs to hospitals, or selling some type of service to a municipality or a government organization or the federal government. It's a whole different sales cycle. It's a whole different skill set. So just because you wouldn't like sales in one area, don't discount it and think you wouldn't like it anywhere. I just bring sales up because I know so many people say, oh, I'd hate that. I could never do it. There are a million different elements to selling, and just because you don't like one element of it doesn't mean you wouldn't fit into another organization perfectly well and be very successful at it. So just don't discount things out of hand. At least make sure you've given it some thought and you've really considered it before you decide, hey, I really don't like that, I hate it. So let's drill down into some resources that you can use just in case you really don't have an idea of where to start. Maybe you don't understand your personality type or what your strengths are. Well, there's a number of resources you can use for that. I'm just going to point you in the direction of a couple of them. The first resource is the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. You're probably familiar with that. It's also abbreviated MBTI. It's been around for decades. Many personality types or different types of tests that you may have taken were probably a composite of that if they weren't that directly. It breaks your personality down into different types, and it helps you determine whether you're introverted or extroverted, whether you're a thinker or whether you're more judgmental, whether you're more perceptive or maybe whether you're more analytical. I'm not going to go into all the different types, but I would encourage you, if you have never taken one, go out to the internet, do a search on Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. You'll find a bunch of free tests. I've taken variations of this over the last 30 years, both at the educational level, you know, in college and university. I've taken variations of it in the military. I've had many business organizations administer to me, and you know, in variations of it. And I would say, if you just go out and take the simple, whatever it is, 25 question free version of it on the internet, that's going to give you enough of an indicator for our purposes to at least help you understand your personality type if you already don't know it. You probably don't need to take a big, full-blown, professionally administered, you know, very expensive version of this test. Again, I have taken those, and if you really want to dig into your personality type better, go ahead and do that. But start with that free one, and that is probably going to give you all the information you need. I personally am an INTP, and I could be an ENTP. The difference between the I and the E is whether I'm introverted or extroverted. You may think I'm extroverted. People that know me probably think I'm extroverted. The definition for introverted and extroverted in terms of Myers-Briggs may be a little bit different than what you're initially thinking. Extroverted doesn't necessarily mean that you're gregarious and outgoing. What it refers to is where you draw your energy from. And for an example, if you come home on Friday night from a long week at work and you know, working hard hours, and you just need to really, you know, recharge up and build up your strength, and you know, the way you kind of recharge your batteries for the weekend is on Friday night, you want to go out and party. You want to go out and be with 50 different people, you know, 50 new people. You know, you want to be at this party with just all these new people, and that's where you're drawing your energy from. You're getting it kind of externally from your environment. You may maybe want to go to a show, or you want to go to a concert, you want to go to a party. Well, then you're probably more of an extroverted person because you're drawing your energy externally. On the other hand, if you're an introvert, if you're an introverted person, it doesn't mean that you don't like other people. It doesn't mean that you don't like to talk or you're shy or afraid of people. It just means that you draw your energy more within. So on a Friday night after a long week at work, you may just want to have a quiet dinner with your spouse. You may just want to curl up next to the fireplace and read a book. Or, you know, just sit back and relax and listen to the Wealth Studying podcast. You may be an introvert if that's how you'd spend your Friday night. And again, that's just about how are you recharging your batteries? How are you deriving your energy? Are you pulling it from the external environment? Are you more pulling it from your internal environment? That may not be precisely right, but that's how I interpret the Myers-Briggs. And that's why I think I am definitely more of an introvert than an extrovert. Because when I need to recharge my batteries, I love to just sit down with a nonfiction book, read about history, read about business, read someone's biography. That's how I can recharge myself. To me, it would be more draining to go out and go to a party. So as I said, I'm an INTP. The N stands for intuitive, and that's as opposed to sensing. Again, that's more about how you bring information into yourself. A person that's real good with sensing would say be a more of a visual learner that notice things very much visually. You know, I could walk into my house and my wife could change the drapes, put down new carpet, paint the walls a different color. I wouldn't notice it. I'm not a sensor. I'm more intuitive. And it doesn't mean that I go on like intuition, that I go on guesses or hunches. It just means that I'm more subtle in the way I take things in. I may notice my wife's body language. I may notice the tone of her voice or the inflection she uses. And that's how I would perceive something as opposed to maybe noticing the color of the shoes that she was wearing or how she did her hair. Then my third category is T. That's for thinking. Again, it's INTP. The T stands for thinking. And that's how I assess things. The opposite category to that would be feeling. So someone that would be more feeling would perhaps think through things with a more of an emotional basis or look at them from a more of an empathetic way. And I guess to give you an example of that, and again, these are my perceptions of Myers-Briggs. I'm not trained in it. This is just my theory of taking the test and seeing the way that I've been assessed over the years. So someone that was more feeling than thinking, they would see a tsunami strike Japan and they would be very concerned about the people there. They would maybe post something on their blog about it or try and organize some volunteers to send money over there or make a donation. They would be worried about the people in Japan. They would be more feeling in their reaction to seeing this tsunami in Japan. I, on the other hand, I would be thinking, hey, what stocks are going to be affected by this? Is this category or this asset class going to go up or going to go down because of the tsunami that hit Japan? Now, at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that I'm a cold-hearted SOB. Because I tell you from personal experience, people like me are probably the guys that at the end of the day are more likely to write out the check and send the contribution to the people in Japan that are suffering than the guy that's kind of wringing his hands feeling sorry for them. But that's a value judgment on my part. It just shows you the different way that people think. So I am more thinking than feeling. And then the last thing is P for me is perceptive, and that would be as opposed to judging. People that are in strong leadership positions, people that are like CEOs of company, they tend to be judging. They tend to be very black and white, very much able to identify value and to pick the winning horse and run with it. As far as the Myers-Briggs category for me in that area, I'm more the perception. I'm not as judgmental. I'm not as black and white. I see things more in shades of gray. I see more possibilities, more opportunities. I don't come down and make a firm decision one way or the other because I can see so many possibilities with it. I can see so many different angles. So that's my basic personality type, INTP. Now that doesn't tell you everything about me. It doesn't mean that I wouldn't be judgmental or very prejudiced in one situation and not in another. It doesn't mean that I'm not feeling and empathetic just because I am a thinker. But overall, you can kind of characterize my personality type by breaking it down into those four areas. I do think the Myers-Briggs personality types is very effective. It is a way to get a general feel for someone's personality type. And the reason I bring this up in terms of our wanting to get to know what kind of career fields we'd like is because you have to know your personality type to know what kind of job you'd fit into, what kind of career you might fit into. Again, I'm not that real judgmental type. I don't fit the CEO type that I distinguished. Many of the top CEOs, their type would be ESTJ. They'd be extroverted, they'd be sensing, they'd be thinking, and they'd be judging. Again, that's not my personality type. Although I have some of those characteristics, I do have that strong thinking personality type. I don't have the sensing, and I don't have the judging. So I'm not going to necessarily make split-second decisions based on my physical senses. So I may not be a good CEO or I wouldn't be necessarily a good military leader. I see all these shades of gray. I see all these possibilities. That makes me very creative. That makes me very innovative. But it doesn't necessarily make me a good decision maker. And remember, I'm more intuitive than I am sensing, so I don't necessarily see things with my physical eyes or hear them with my ears. That's why, in terms of stock, I like to look at data. I like to study history. I like to look for patterns. So I do very well investing in stocks. But because I'm not sensing very well with like my five senses, with my eyes and with my ears and things, I would make a lousy musician, right? I'm not going to be able to probably hear a tune and play it by ear. If I was a witness at a crime scene, I wouldn't be the right guy to say, oh, it was a blue Chevy or it was a red Ford. I probably wouldn't have sensed that. I probably wouldn't have seen it. Because of my intuition, though, because of the way I perceive other things, I would have been more likely to say, oh, I think the guy's career field was such and such because of the way his body language was or because of the way he dressed or because of the accent that he had. Or I may have noticed the tools he was carrying or the particular type of briefcase or the bumper sticker on his car. I might have seen those things because that's how I make connections. But I wouldn't do it with colors or things that I may perceive because I just don't see the difference in those. Coming back to that crime scene example, I could probably be a great detective in terms of someone dealing with forensic evidence, someone that profiles criminals, someone that interrogates suspects. I think I'd be good at all those. I think that fits my INTP. But for being a cop on the beat or being the policeman that's driving the patrol car, that's got to, take in all those sensory things and make a lot of those snap decisions, I don't think that's me. I wouldn't fit. So that's how understanding your personality type can help you determine, broadly what kind of field you would want to go into. So look into the Myers-Briggs type indicator, get a feel for where you fit, and see if that helps you out. See if that might help you determine why you maybe hate the job that you're in, or maybe why you feel you don't fit. Maybe you think you're a round peg in a square hole. Another similar test that I think has been effective for me is the Strengths Finder. And the interesting thing about this is, I think it's probably a variation of Myers-Briggs, but instead of so much looking at what your personality type is, they try and relate that to more, what are you good at? What are your strengths at? And it was developed by the people over at Gallup, the Gallup poll people. So they just have, like a century of data where they've studied organizations and people and historical events. And I think they use that insight to pull these strength finders together. It's very effective. Again, I'd ask you to just Google that if you want more information, Strengths Finder by Gallup. And again, it'll give you some, different initials to say this is where you're strong at or this is what you're weak at. I think you'll find that accurate. And I think it can help you determine, broadly what kind of areas you may or may not fit into for a career field. Now, there are probably 100 other resources out there. Again, variations on the Myers-Briggs. I don't want to belabor the point. Go out and see what works best for you. Take a simple test. Answer the 25 initial questions. See if you get a reading that rings true to you. See if you get a reading that says, yeah, that is me. That is my personality. And then try and apply it to the things that you've experienced, the things you have and haven't liked. Again, going back to when I talked about selling, maybe you're not that extrovert. Maybe you're not that gregarious guy that wants to go out on a Friday night and go partying. That doesn't mean you wouldn't be a good salesman. Now, you're not going to be the salesman that specializes in entertaining people and maybe building relationships. But maybe your thinking and your intuitive skills and your introvertedness, maybe that's going to make you a great, technical salesman, someone that sells software, someone that sells services, someone that can work on a long-term complex sale. Take those tests. See how you score. Maybe you'll look at things in a different light. But don't get too bogged down in the details. When I look back over my career, I think that when I first learned about Myers-Briggs and I saw how it really did nail down my personality type, I think I did spend too much time going deep within Myers-Briggs and going deep within Strength Finders and some of these other profile testing. I was probably too introspective on it. And I think I probably spent too much time trying to figure out, where I would fit in an organization or where I would fit in corporate America. Hey, I'm this round peg and all these jobs I'm in are square holes. Or all these positions that I look at in the corporation, they're all variations of this square peg or this octagon or this hexagon. And I don't have any sharp corners, right? I'm a total round peg. I don't have any sharp lines on me at all. So I just didn't fit at all. And I think I spent too much time looking for where I would fit instead of, for me, making that jump as an entrepreneur and saying, I'm not going to see where I fit. I'm just going to create my own position. I'm just going to do what I know that I'm good at. Because by doing what I know that I love, by doing what I know that I'm good at, I'm going to be successful. So don't get too introspective with that stuff. Don't use it so much to see where you fit in. Use it to see where you can excel. Use it to see what you can create from it. Go out and make your own niche. The other thing I'd say, and this alludes back to what I talked about where you develop taste for things, right? The first time you drank coffee, you maybe necessarily didn't like it, but then you developed a taste for it. Well, things change over time. If you're 18 years old, what you don't like today isn't necessarily going to not be what you don't like when you're 40 or when you're 50. So do look at things from the long term. You know, maybe something today that might be just an inconvenience and you say, well, I'm really going to avoid that. Well, don't necessarily do that. Stick with it. Learn to overcome it. Maybe learn to tolerate it. Because by the time you're, 35, 40, 50, that little thing won't irritate you anymore. It won't aggravate you. And I'll give you another example in my own life. Paperwork and routine. I don't like that. I love to go out and do something different every day. I hate to get bogged down doing paperwork and reports. And yet, at the same time, I run my own advisory firm. There's a lot of bureaucratic paperwork. There's a lot of rules and regulations. There's tons of paperwork. And all has to be done absolutely 100% right, or I lose my license or go to jail. But you see, I've learned to tolerate those things. I've learned to tolerate the routine of the paperwork. I've learned to develop the discipline to make sure that all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed, because that's the way it has to be in my industry. If I want to be in this industry, I have to do those things. And so if I can, I outsource the things that I'm really not good at or the things that I really hate to do. And then the other things I've just learned to do. I've just developed the discipline and I do them. And I know that, hey, this is 10% of my time. 10% of my time is making sure that these documents are filed properly or that these documents meet the right standards. The other 90% of my time, that's split up in doing the things that I love. Spending time with my clients, getting to understand their needs and their financial situation and how I can help them build their wealth. Being able to drill down into specific stocks and looking for the trends and studying where the next opportunity is. And then being able to actually go in and pull the trigger to execute a trade, to either buy a stock or sell a stock. That's where I spend 90% of my time doing these other things. That's what I really love. I'm willing to do, the 10 or 15 or 20%, whatever it is, on the bureaucratic paperwork because I love doing the other parts so much. So don't discount things automatically. Be tolerant. Deal with a little bit of aggravation if the bigger picture makes you happier. And that could also apply to those of you that are in corporate America. Maybe you can't stand 20 or 25% of your job. Maybe you're stuck in a cubicle. Maybe you work for a jerk. There's a lot of internal politics. But you love, say, the other 80 or 75% of your job. I know a lot of corporate engineers that fit that profile. They love what they're paid to do when it comes to solving problems, to fixing things, to analyzing data. They love that 75%, 80% of their job that involves that. They hate the internal politics. They hate the other 15, 20, 25% of their job. Well, if you're in that kind of a situation and if you're well paid, just figure out how to focus your energies and stay more on those 75% of things that you love. Don't take a promotion to go into management. You're going to hate that. Stay where you're at. It's better to be happy. It's better to spend the time doing what you enjoy, building bridges, writing code. If doing research work is what you like, stay away from the corporate politics side of it. Stay away from going into management. Focus on doing what you really enjoy. You should be able to get up Monday mornings and just go to work loving what you do. Now, I know you're saying, yeah, but if I don't take that promotion, I'm not going to make as much money. In this episode, we're not talking about the earnings. That's going to come in a future episode. Today, we're just talking about drilling down and working and doing the kind of jobs that you love. So don't be afraid to turn down that promotion. So for now, focus on doing the things that you love. Focus on doing the things that you like. Try and learn how to surround yourself in those kind of environments. The money will come. The opportunities will come, but I guarantee you don't want to have a job that you're miserable at, no matter how much they pay you. As I said at the beginning, I can't get granular enough to take it down to the specific job or the specific career that you should do. I have to keep things general and speak in things in broad terms. I hope that by talking about StrengthsFinder and Myers-Briggs, that's helped you understand that if you're not happy or if you don't understand your inner self, you should look at these tests you can take. Because they can better help you understand why you might not be fitting in. And then they can help you to make adjustments either in yourself so you better fit the current job that you're in, or so that you can make a drastic change and leave the company you're at and go to where you're better suited. I hope this helped. And I wanted to give you my personal experience and relate these things to myself, again, so that you could better understand them and apply them to you, because I couldn't break down every personality and tell you about each individual type. I told you about myself. I tried to give you an example. I wanted to give you a pattern so you can go study StrengthsFinders or study Myers-Briggs and then apply it to your own situation. Now remember, in the overall concept of building wealth, we have a simple equation. You must first earn, then you must save, and then you must invest. You have to do it in those three steps. Because of Labor Day, we're focusing on the earnings part, getting the right job, fitting into the right career. And in a near future episode, we'll definitely be talking about how you increase your earnings capacity. Today we've talked about trying to identify what your talents are, what you love, what you might want to go into. The next episode we'll talk specifically about getting that new job, getting the next promotion, or based about what we talked about today, if you don't fit, maybe it's going to be about switching careers, moving into an entirely new field, reinventing yourself, or perhaps even that second career that you want to take after you retire. So we'll cover all that in the next episode. Again, welcome to all of our new listeners. Thank you for those of you that have gone out and made the effort to subscribe to iTunes or Stitcher, put a comment out there, rate the show. I really appreciate all the encouragement and support. If you have questions or concerns, things you'd like to address with me, you can do that at the podcast website, which is wealthsteading.com. Until next time, this is John Pugliano wishing you the best of returns.